Mark Wilson Show.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome in. It is the Mark Wilson Show for Thursday. Oh, Uncle Mark here, and feeling old today. I hope that you'll stick with me. I'm working with just a wicked cold that's accompanied by a wicked cough. What?
It's that darn rhinovirus, isn't it?
Well, it is, yeah. I just want to let people, in case I have to, shut down for a second. Seriously.
Okay.
And if the voice gives out, just asking people to give me give me some grace, that's all. Anyway, I had to show up today, though, for a couple of big reasons. Of course I had to show up today. It's World Radio Day. Did you know that? So if there was any day I was going to miss, it wouldn't be World Radio Day. That, and a special guest today. I haven't talked to this guy in so very long, and I'm so excited about it. I thought about him because it's Valentine's Day tomorrow, and Valentine's Day makes me think of love songs, and love songs make me think of Chicago, the group Chicago, and my old buddy Jimmy Panko, the trombone player, one of the original members. He'll be on the show today. We'll talk about the love songs in general and Chicago, the band. Do you know they've been around for 53 years? I mean, they're one of the, what would you call, longest running acts, successful acts ever. So anyway, it'll be fun to have Jimmy on the show today. But yeah, so it's World Radio Day today. And it may be today more than ever is particularly important since the news this morning that McClatchy, the owners of the Slow Tribune, have filed for bankruptcy. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to be going out of business. It doesn't mean the newspaper stops tomorrow. Most of you know that. Some of you don't. Some people equate bankruptcy with, oops, shutting the door and no more business. No, this is just going to, this has been coming for a long time. You've seen it. They've seen it. The people at the Trib have seen it. And actually, this can be a good thing. This is going to actually, I think, help them move forward without the debt. They're going to be some people that are SOL. They're just not going to get paid. Creditors, I mean. I don't know what's going to happen with the pension. I think that they have indicated that that's been their biggest challenge, as it is for a lot of businesses today and a lot of state governments, including the state of California. It's the pensions. The promises that they made 30 years ago, they just can't keep up with today. Business, particularly in media, has changed way too much, way too fast. And by the way, the print business screwed itself. The newspaper business screwed itself by giving away all their content to the digital whores. And they were out there early, and everybody was afraid of anything that was online. And, oh, boy, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And the online people said, well, give us your content, and we'll point back to you. And the newspaper people went, okay, cool. And they gave them content. Who would do that? You know, all this content that they paid for, the people that they got to pay the journalists, they got to pay the, they got to pay the freight, and they just gave it away. That's part of the problem. And the online people, they monetized it. And newspapers were left trying to figure out how they were going to monetize it. And they just had a very difficult time catching up. So McClatchy, it's unfortunate to see this happen to a company that's, gosh, I think it's, how old? 162-year-old company, the McClatchys. They've been in that. I mean, that's an awfully long time. You just hate to see it. But at the same time, this might be a very good thing, this Chapter 11 filing. It'll allow them to restructure, get their debts handled in whatever way they do. I guess they're saying about 60% of the debt will be eliminated. So we'll see. We need local press. Keeps people honest. And I'm including newspapers in that. I'm including television. I'm including radio, of course. It's important to this community, and I know. Of course I'd say that. I'm in media, for Pete's sake. But it's true. And you can agree with the media or you can disagree with the media. You can hate the Trib or you can love the Trib. You can hate KVC or love KVC. You can hate Mark Wilson or love Mark Wilson, but local voices are important. And it's not just my voice. The local media gives you an opportunity to participate in a way that you wouldn't ordinarily be able to. Trust me on that. I know most of you know that. So, I for one, and again, we'll talk about this a little bit later today. because we're going to have Jimmy Panko on first. We can also talk about it's World Radio Day. See, radio is important to the world. Not just the nation, but the world. And by the way, too, not sure if you figured this one out yet or if you've even had a chance to see it, but Black Caucus members were all over television last night, all over the media yesterday. Why? Well, I believe it's become apparent that the Democratic establishment, the old guard, have made their choice as to who they want to run against Donald Trump. And it ain't Bernie. And that was very evident yesterday. Nobody wants Bernie. It's getting too close now. He's way too popular. It doesn't seem like anybody can stop him. And even his friends in the Democratic Party, if he has any at all, any real friends, are saying, we can't have this nutball. We can't have him running against Trump, much less winning the presidency. It would be a disaster. So they sent their people out last night. We'll talk about, you know who the choice is. You know it. But we're going to discuss that. Anyway, Scotty, anything you want to say on World Radio Day before we go to a break and then get joined by Jimmy Panko?
I would like to thank each and every one of you. I'm just happy to be nominated in this sea of great talent.
No, in all seriousness, though, radio, for as long as I've been in radio, it has been a wonderful business. I get out of it from time to time and I go do something else, but I always come back to it because it is the greatest media in the world for me. I knew it when I was a kid with my, I'm supposed to be asleep and I'm under the covers in the bed in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan and I'm listening to WLS Chicago. AM radio, AM WLS 89 WLS. What was his name? John Records Landecker, the super jock Larry Lujack. I'm supposed to be asleep, but I'm listening to these guys on the radio. And I sort of knew it then. And I'll tell you, radio's been very, very good to me. Radio been very, very good. I made a ton of money, and I made no money, and I didn't care either way. That's when you know that things are going well with your life. When you love what you do, and the money doesn't matter.
Well, I used to actually, when you mentioned WLS, because it was a 50,000-watt flamethrower.
Yeah. Flamethrower out of Chicago.
And, what I used to do is actually sit on a levee in my 65 Mustang and tune in WLS.
Yeah.
On a clear night?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it was beautiful. And I was in Southern California.
John Records Landecker doing boogie check, boogie check, ooh, ah. Boogie check, boogie check, ooh, ah. It was just the best radio ever. And it's a bygone day. Those are the shoulders on which I stand. Right?
Yeah.
So radio certainly has changed since those days. But don't for a second. I know the public perception is, that's old media. Oh, that's all the digital's all the rage now. You must be there. You must put your money there. Hey, listen. Yeah, there's been a little bit of erosion of the audience over time, but they're still there. Radio's still the way that most people, and I can give you the data if you want, is the way most people still find their new music and get a lot of their information. It's still alive and thriving, and it's the best business I've ever known. It's theater of the mind, it's information. When the world goes to hell and things are going sideways, radio's there. Am I doing a commercial for radio? You're damn right I am. And by the way, you should be advertising on it if you're not now. I can give you success stories if you want. I'd be happy to, all day long. I'll meet with you. Just you and me. I'll show you how it works. Anyway, I don't know whether I should. We're waiting for Jimmy Pankow to call. He's calling us. We're not calling him. And I want to have him as soon as we get back from the break. I don't want any sort of. I want a nice, smooth transition. It's World Radio Day. It would be a shame to do a crappy radio show formatically today, to just have things go sideways. Honor of the day. Let's do our best.
I'll try not to screw this up.
I'm not worried about you. I'm more worried about me. But, anyway. So let's take that break. We'll take the chance that he's going to call in the next couple of minutes here. Jimmy Pankow. I'm sorry. I've been calling him Pankow for years. It's Panko. Panko. Trombone player for Chicago. One of the original founding members of the band. And a guy that's responsible for a lot of their best songs, in my view. So let's take that break. And hopefully when we come back, Jimmy will be... will be with us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mark Wilson Show. The Mark Wilson Show on 920 KVEC and FM 96.5.
Hi, this is Doug Epley.
Table to its full upright position. Our next segment with Mark Wilson could be a bumpy ride.
920 AM and FM 96.5 KVEC.
All right, welcome back to the Thursday edition of the Mark Wilson Show. So good to have you. You know, Valentine's Day makes me think of love, and love makes me think of love songs, and love songs make me think of the band Chicago. And Chicago makes me think of my old friend Jimmy Pankow. He's been known as one of the founding members of the legendary rock band Chicago, as you know, as the group's trombone player, has recorded and performed with Chicago for over 50 years. It's hard to believe that. And that band is still going strong, by the way. But on the phone with us right now, Jimmy. Hello, are you there?
Hey.
Jimmy, how are you?
Hey, man. How are you, Mark?
I'm doing great. I don't think that you and I have talked to each other since we did the national radio special for the Love Songs release. Remember that? That was maybe 12, 15 years ago.
For the Love Songs. Yeah, you produced that.
Yeah.
And, it's good to talk to you again.
Yeah, man. How have you been?
And how appropriate being that it's Valentine's Day.
Yeah, I know, right? That's why I thought of you. I wanted to talk to you and have you give our listeners just sort of your sense of what a great love song is. But before we do that, Jimmy, we'll talk about Chicago. I know Chicago is still going strong, still out there touring. I want people to get a sense of who you are. And I know you were born...
I'm a total nutcase.
I know you were born in St. Louis, and you moved to Chicago when you were, I don't know, around 7 or 8 years old. And you ended up picking up the trombone for some reason, which for me, Jimmy's not the sexiest of instruments. Well, so how did that happen?
Well, I'm still trying to make that darn thing look cool.
No, you do. Know? No, listen. If anybody made this trombone sexy, it was you. You play the trombone like Eddie Van Halen plays the guitar.
Well, you know, frankly, I'm so absorbed in playing the right notes at the right time. How I look and what I'm doing is not really a conscious thing. It's just really a result of the joy I'm experiencing in being a part of the music. And I just let myself go up there, man, you get on stage and you hear the approval of that audience, and man, there's no better medicine on earth. It's amazing. It's still the first night every night because those people are just, they're thrilled to be able to share this communion with the band and relive the moments in their lives that these songs represent. You know, when you write this stuff,
yeah,
you're having a personal moment at the keyboard or whatever, and it's a cathartic kind of a therapy session. You're just putting your thoughts on paper, and next thing you know, it's a mantra for millions of people, and it's quite an extraordinary result. You don't expect that. It's every songwriter's dream to approach a level,
yeah,
where that song becomes absolutely meaningful in people's lives. And you're on stage and you're looking at the crowd. Perhaps they don't realize this, but you can see them remembering where they were, what they were doing when they embraced this music and embodied it in their life.
I wasn't going to ask you about this yet. I'm going to move ahead a little bit. But speaking of that, of what you just said, I used to be in a band years ago, and it was a stupid name. It was Nightfall or something like that. And we were likely to play it, let's see. Like
a stupid name like Chicago, you mean?
No, like The Big Thing. Now, that was a dumb name.
So, and
my band's name was Nightfall, and we would play like the Holiday Inn in Gurnee, Illinois, you know, that kind of thing. We would also play weddings.
Oh, sure. We did that.
95% of the weddings that we played, the bride would ask for what song? Color My World.
Probably Color My World.
What an amazing... That's the kind of song you're talking about.
Yeah, it's become a Facebook standard, you know?
I know. How does that make you feel?
Well, again, you know, I had been listening to Johann Bach, of all people. You know, musically, he still represents the template for perfect harmony and construction. He was brilliant, and his music is still used in theory classes as a basis for harmony and voicing, etc. And I was fascinated with his perfection. And we were on the road, as always. Back in those days, we were on the road 300 days a year. So we were eternal gypsies. We still are. We still do 100 to 120 shows a year.
It's amazing.
And so you have to make, you know, you have to make use of your time on the road when you're not on stage to be productive, and the songwriting process is continual. But back then, I was fascinated with Bach, and I had been listening to the Brandenburg Concertos, which are very terrific in terms of representing Bach's perfection and his musicality. And I was fascinated by how he constructed this music. I listened over and over, and it moved me to begin horsing around with similar approaches, arpeggios and stuff. And this little 12-bar round resulted, which became Color My World. We were in the Holiday Inn. I was writing between Holiday Inn beds on a little electric piano.
Okay.
It was about 3 in the morning when I became inspired with this tune. And I needed to verify whether or not this melody I heard in my head was appropriate for those chords. So I woke Walter Perezader up and asked him to come to my room with his flute. He said, "What? It's 3 in the morning, dude. I'm sleeping." I said, Walt, you got to come down to the room or I'm going to lose this idea. Please, Walt.
Jimmy.
I'll buy you dinner.
Jimmy,
I'll do whatever.
Jimmy,
come to the room.
Jimmy, can you hang on a second? We got a quick break to get to. Can you hang on for 2 minutes or so?
Absolutely. Sure, I'm here.
All right, Jimmy Panko on the phone with us from Chicago. The band Chicago, not the city of Chicago. You know him. We'll take a quick break, check some news, and back with Jimmy right after that on The Mark Wilson Show.
California headline news. House Minority Leader and California Representative Kevin McCarthy disputing claims that President Trump wrongfully interfered in the case of his friend Roger Stone, tweeting his displeasure with the prosecutor's recommendation that he be sentenced to 7 to 9 years.
No, the president is not interfering because if you listen to the Department of Justice, they made the decision before the tweet ever went out. Attorney General Barr is coming before the committee as well, but there's no issue here.
4 prosecutors on the case resigned when the Justice Department issued a statement seemingly in agreement with Trump's claim that the recommended sentence was excessive. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi denying that the Democratic presidential race is in a state of chaos.
We're calm, cool, and collected. This is not, I mean, just because some people may be speaking out about not liking one candidate or another, that's the Democratic way. That's politics. It's a messy business.
Pelosi also arguing that all Democratic presidential candidates have had a positive influence on the race, including Michael Bloomberg. Low 70s in L.A., mid-60s in the Bay Area. Jeff Scott, California News.
Are you or someone you love one of the nearly 1 million Americans living with Parkinson's disease? Every person's experience with Parkinson's is unique, and for many patients and families, that can be one of the most challenging aspects. The Michael J. Fox Foundation built a guide to help. Visit michaeljfox.org/PD360 to download the Parkinson's 360, a guide for navigating the disease. It's free and available right now. That's michaeljfox.org/PD360. Visit today.
We all want our kids to grow up safe and healthy, so we show them how, and we tell them, with honest conversations that let them know what we expect. That's especially important when it comes to alcohol and other drugs. Kids need to know the dangers and how to avoid them. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
A War Powers resolution is on the way to the House after the Senate signed off on it with bipartisan support. House Minority Leader Chuck Schumer.
The president does not have the authority to go to war. Democratic and Republican senators have made that crystal clear. No president can sidestep Congress when it comes to matters of war and peace.
8 Republicans joined all 47 Democrats in voting for the measure. The CDC has confirmed a 15th U.S. case of a new strain of coronavirus. It's in San Antonio, Texas. He or she is among the evacuees from China who are now in quarantine at Lackland Air Force Base. The House has okayed a measure that removes the 1982 deadline for state ratification of the Equal Rights Amendment. The Justice Department's added new charges against Chinese tech giant Huawei, accusing the company in a plot to steal trade secrets. The NASDAQ and the S&P 500 are at record highs heading for the close. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Experience carbine made easy at Sun.
And Unafraid, The Mark Wilson Show, on the app, online, and on 920 AM and FM 96.5, KVEC.
All right, Thursday edition of The Mark Wilson Show. We're on the phone. I know I hate to even talk over this song. Should I just let it go?
Yes.
Ba-da-da-da. Yeah. That's Jimmy Pankow playing the trombone right there. And he's on the phone with us right now. Jimmy, you still there? Jimmy?
Guys, you know, you have a gig that's fascinating as well.
Yeah, me, you think? Hey, Jimmy?
Hey, dude, all I can say is you guys are a big part of this career that I've enjoyed for over 50 years. And I love you guys for being big fans of the music, and I appreciate the fact that you love this stuff, and it keeps us in the minds and hearts of our fans, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Oh, no, thank you. Thank you, seriously. Chicago was one of the more influential music groups of my youth. I'm serious about that. And I know that my engineer...
Mine too. People tell me, I grew up with your music. I said, so did I, bro.
Jimmy, when we left off, you were talking about Color My World, right? Because you wrote the song Color My World, probably the all-time most requested wedding songs, at least in my experience, in my band, Nightfall. And you had just woken Walter Perezader up at 3 o'clock in the morning, told him to grab his flute, come down to your room at the Holiday Inn, because you had this idea.
Yes, and he knocked on my door. He had his flute. He had his robe on.
Well, I'm thankful for that.
Half asleep. Yeah, me too. He was half asleep. And, you know, I scribbled out a melody for the flute, and I played the changes on piano, and I asked him to play what I had written out as a melody. And he did. At the end of the song, you know, I looked at him, I said, so Walt, do you think this works? And he paused a second, then looked at me and said, Jimmy, this is going to make me famous. So perhaps he knew more than I did,
because I needed that validation, I guess. But lo and behold, people still come back, you know, to meet and greets at shows. And, you know, they're all bright-eyed, and they look at me, and they, you know, they tell me that they've waited, you know, we waited 30 years, man, to come back here and meet you in person to tell you that we danced to Color My World at our wedding.
Yep, yep.
And that's
yep.
our song.
Wow.
And I hear that on a nightly basis. And let me tell you something. As a composer, it brings everything full circle. And not only is it incredibly flattering and rewarding to hear that, but it's a huge responsibility because,
sure.
you know, you want to go up on that stage and play this music as well as you can because these people come for miles to hear this stuff.
Right.
And it really does. It really does represent a special moment
right.
in their lives,
yep.
whether it's their marriage or, you know, making a baby or, you know, meeting for the first time or graduating or what have you. And it to this day, it blows my mind and just it just makes me speechless when I hear these compliments and these testimonials from people of all ages.
Right.
And it's every composer's, I would imagine it's every composer's dream. I mean, talk about fruition.
Yeah.
You know,
but the funny thing for me is Color My World, if you compare it to some of the other things that you've written, Make Me Smile or Just You and Me, I've Been Searching So Long, Feeling Stronger Every Day, some of those, it's a fairly simple song, right? I mean, compared to the other stuff.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and again, you know, composition is a funny thing. There are things on many of our albums where I stretched out, where I got very in-depth.
Yeah.
And
I love those.
And complicated, if you will.
Yeah.
But it's the simplicity of the music that people grab onto. I mean, what you walk away from and you hum in your head is what draws people to this music. And, some of the hardest music to play is the simplest music because
right.
you're totally exposed. You can be very busy musically and, you know, things go by before you notice that there are clamps or before you notice that something isn't working. But when you're performing a simple piece, it's very naked in terms of the notes because there are few, and it allows an audience to concentrate on every aspect of that song because it is in fact simple and it's easy to relate to. It's and it also gives people the ability to recreate the song
right.
over and over in their head because
yeah.
it isn't too complicated.
If you're just joining us, James,
just you and me, another example. You know, ba do do da ba ba da.
Yes,
it's very straight ahead, very simple, but it works.
Yep,
because in its simplicity, it's powerful.
Right. If you're just joining us, James Jimmy Panko. The songwriter, trombonist, one of the founding members of Chicago is on the phone with us. We're talking about the music of Chicago. We're talking about Jimmy Panko and his career. And in a minute here, I'm going to ask Jimmy what the best, not a Chicago song, the best love song of all time. Because it's Valentine's Day tomorrow, so it's very appropriate. I'm going to ask you, too, and I just want you to, you don't have to answer this if you don't want to. How many people ask you, what does 25 or 6 to 4 mean?
I can't count the times I've been asked that.
Well, I don't understand 25. Or so. I love the song, but what does it mean?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You don't have to tell us.
Well, if you have to know, it's a reference to time. Robert Lamb wrote that song in the wee small hours of the night. And as he looked at the clock, he was very tired.
Yeah.
And he was writing about how he felt at 4 a.m. or whatever. And he looked at the clock and he couldn't distinguish the minute hand from the hour hand, whatever.
Right.
So he didn't know if it was 25 minutes to 4 or 6 minutes to 4 in the morning.
Oh, see. It's so good to finally know that.
And that's all it is. It's a reference to time. It's not a formula for LSD. It's not racing track odds.
Can I tell you something, Jimmy? Jimmy, I got to tell you something. Do you know how many people that are listening right now are going to rush home this evening and say to their significant other, do you know what that song is about? I finally figured it out. I finally heard. So cool.
Yeah. Hey, once again, in simplicity, there is power.
Sure.
It's just a reference to time. And people want to read in all these inner meanings. So, you know, you cut to the chase. You cut through the perceptions. And it's really a simple idea.
Hey, Jimmy, I want to ask you, go ahead.
You pair that with a simple guitar line, ba na 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 na, ba na 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 na, ba na na, and bingo, it's magic.
Right. So I want to switch tracks here for just a second, because some of the best stories that you've told are about the early days of Chicago. Before you were Chicago, you guys played. And this, I like people to know this, particularly young people, because I think they see shows on TV like American Idol or The Voice, and they just think, oh, you just get famous overnight. And maybe in some cases today because of the... You guys worked in some some really rough spots back in the day when you were getting your stuff together.
We might have worked the same Holiday Inns you did, bro.
Yeah? As the big thing?
Absolutely. We played every upholstered sewer in the Midwest for a year and a half.
But how important, how important was that to the development of the sound of the band? Did it give you an opportunity to really kind of work things out?
Absolutely. That was our, definitely. That was our springboard. That was our opportunity to discover what we really were. That was our workshop, and we honed the ultimately was what was to become the identity of the band in those nightclubs and bars all over the Midwest. And we played top 40 because that's what you had to do to get a gig. People didn't want to hear us, they wanted to hear the songs that they heard on the radio. And fortunately, at that time, Top 40 was largely soul music, which incorporated horns, albeit horns that were frosting on the cake. They were background, they were accompaniment. But it gave the horn section something to do when we did these songs. And slowly but surely, these Top 40 covers morphed into... that are approaching original ideas. And slowly but surely, we brought original ideas and music into the show, into the set. As we began to do that, we began to be fired by every club because they didn't want to hear what we had to say.
Right.
So as we got fired from one club after another, we realized that, hey, man, do we want to... build a career,
right,
becoming a Vegas type act and doing clubs and wearing suits and all that jazz? Or do we want to take it to the next level and be ourselves and exploit our own sound and maybe look at getting a record deal? And if that's the case, we got to get out of the Midwest because that's not where the record business is. And so we moved to California and started all over again and kind of became the house band at the Whiskey on Sunset Strip.
Right, right.
And that's where we got discovered by labels by big acts that were coming through L.A. They'd come to the Whiskey to see what was going on locally. That's where we met Jimi Hendrix, who took us on the road as an opening act. I mean, it might have been the Who, it might have been the Stones.
I can't imagine. Whatever. I can't imagine you guys opening for Jimi Hendrix. That's wild.
It was wild. We were in the dressing room getting ready to go back on. We were opening for Albert King at the Whiskey, and we were leaving the dressing room to go back on stage, and this guy was standing in the doorway, and, you know, Terry went, "Hey, guys, don't look now, but I think Jimi Hendrix is standing in the doorway." Wow. And lo and behold, you know, Hendrix walked in, and he said, "You guys have a horn section. It sounds like one set of lungs and a guitar player that's better than me.
Wow.
Do you guys want to go on the road?" Hell yes.
Hell, with Jimi Hendrix, are you kidding?
So, I mean, it was an experience, let me tell you. You know, we were with, at that time, he was, you know, he was like a legend. He was a god.
Yeah.
He was a rock god.
Yeah.
And he invited us to open his shows for the whole summer tour. And, you know, we'd be on stage and the audience would be going, "We want Jimmy. We want Jimmy."
God.
Not Jimmy Panko, Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, and Walt would customarily go to the mic and say, "Shut the hell up and listen." And they did. They did.
And, oh my God!
You know, our music kind of caught on by word of mouth.
Yeah,
largely due to that exposure, which we were so grateful for. We Jimmy and we even talked about doing an album together, but of course his life got stopped short, very tragically. And then Terry left us.
Yeah,
so
tragically.
The idea never happened.
Yeah,
but you know he. He heard what we had to say. He got it. He heard us at the Whiskey, and it blew him away. And he, you know, he couldn't go on the road without taking us along because he knew that we had something very important to say. And he really became moved by our music. That was a real validation, and more than so much, it. It inspired us to continue to work on our craft.
Yeah.
And eventually, you know, Columbia Records loved what they heard. Jimmy Gercio made a deal.
Is history.
They gave us the opportunity to do a double album.
Yeah.
The rest is history.
The rest is history. 53 years ago. It's hard to believe. I have just a couple of questions for you before we got to go. I could sit and talk to you for the next several hours. I love to listen to your stories, and the band Chicago is so iconic. It's hard for me to believe that it was 53 years ago that you got started. Can you believe that? And did you back then? Did you ever?
Do you believe it?
Did you?
I mean,
did you ever think?
Yeah,
that
we're still trying to get it right, man. You know.
No, I think you got
and
it right, Jimmy.
This band never slows down, and I hope it doesn't ever. We're loving this. The band is slamming, absolutely.
I know
slamming.
They just you just
we're selling out everywhere.
You just played.
It's amazing.
You just played the Vina Robles amphitheater out here in Paso Robles not that long ago. I know Walter has retired from touring, right?
Yes, he has.
Are you still touring, Jimmy?
Absolutely, man.
You can't get
me off that stage. I'm jumping around like a maniac as much as ever. When I walk on that stage, I am a 20-year-old freak. I mean, it's the fountain of youth, and the roar of that crowd, you know, they not only come to hear you, they come to see you.
Yeah.
And they get a good show because there's a lot going on up there, and we're loving every minute of it. You know, hey, man, you know, mortality is reality. How many more years can we do this, you know, believably?
Yeah, you say,
I'm milking every minute of it.
And you finally have a show. I remember you telling a great story about some guy back in the Midwest at some club saying, "Hey, you guys suck.
Yeah.
You don't have a show."
Yeah, Nate Pizarro, the club owner. The first gig, that was our first club gig as the big thing, as a band. And it was called the Club Gigi on the south side of Chicago. And we wore these cheap, shiny, Smokey Joe suits. We had a slick back. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Club Gigi. We're going to do a little belly rub for you. We're going to take a break. Remember, the more you drink, the better we sound. Thank you very much. You know, all that crap.
Yeah, yeah.
And after, you know, at the end of the night, the club owner comes back into the dressing room and he goes, you know, you guys sound really great, but you don't have a show. You suck. You need a show. You're boring.
Oh, God. And look at you now.
We're still working on that.
Yeah, yeah. If only Nate could see you now. Nate Pizarro.
Right?
I have to ask you before we let you go, and it can't be a Chicago song, though. That would be too easy, and maybe too hard, because you have so many great songs. What's the best love song in the world? What do you listen to when, you know, you want to get amorous with the missus? Hmm?
You know what, man? I mean, that's a tough question.
I know.
That's a real tough question. However, it brings me down to the least common denominator, and that's "Love Me Tender" by Elvis Presley.
Oh, "Love Me Tender." Yeah, okay, that would work. Are you a big Elvis fan?
I mean, that song by Elvis was so organic.
Yeah.
You know, he was a country boy, and there's no BS in that song. It is truly a heartfelt expression of emotion of love. And, you know, young folks today have never heard that song, and it's so far removed from what's going on today,
mm-hmm.
you know, in the music world. But there are more current incredible love songs. You know, Cherish by The Association.
Sure.
Another song that goes back to the 60s.
Yeah.
Gosh, you know, Marvin Gaye.
Mm.
You know,
yep.
He wrote some amazing love songs. And it goes, the list goes on and on.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd have to give that some serious thought to pull some winners out of the bag, because there have been so many that have moved me.
You do that, and the next time we talk to you, which hopefully won't be 15 years from now, like it's been this time, maybe you'll have the rest of those songs. But Jimmy, it's been such a pleasure talking to you. We got to move on, and seriously, I could sit and talk with you for the next several hours. I feel like kick back with a beer and, you know, or a cup of coffee or whatever, and just
hey, man,
just
I know we could solve the world's problems together.
I know, right? Seriously.
You know, we're both veterans in this business. We know where all the bodies are buried. And we could probably freak some listeners out on many levels if we got down and dirty.
Oh, James, you're a good guy, man. I appreciate you spending this time with us. Happy Valentine's Day to you. Best to your family. And we hope that we see you out west here sometime soon. So we'll be looking for you on the West Coast.
Well, you know, we're going to be on the West Coast in June with Rick Springfield, as well as all over the country. We'll be in L.A., San Francisco, Concord specifically. And then I think we're looking at some dates right now. We're holding some dates in September for Modesto, for Santa Rosa,
okay.
Lincoln, you know, more rural areas in the state of California.
Yeah, good.
So I hope to run into you, but in the meantime, dude, another busy year. Happy Valentine's Day to you and everybody at KVEC and all of our wonderful listeners who have been a big part of this career. We thank you.
Jimmy, thank you so much, and have a wonderful Valentine's Day. Take care, my friend.
Thanks, Mark. Back to you, my man.
All right, bye-bye. That's Jimmy Pankow.
It's
from
the Mark Wilson Show, only on News Talk 920 and FM 96.5 KVEC.
Dave Congleton from KVEC reminder.
A loss for words. 920 AM and FM 96.5 KVEC.
All right, big thanks to James Jimmy Panko from the band Chicago for spending some time with us. Talking about Chicago and his life and his career and great love songs since it's Valentine's Day tomorrow. The band Chicago really was one of my influences as a young guy. And so getting a chance to spend some time with Jimmy and the band years ago was really one of the highlights of my professional career in the entertainment business, as they say. And I know for you, Scotty, you said that you had a great appreciation for the band.
Oh yeah, I mean the horn bands were always something that I aspired to when I was a kid.
Earth, Wind, and Fire in Chicago, two of the best.
Tower of Power.
And those two were touring together for a while. And I never got to see those two, you know, a show with Earth, Wind, and Fire and Chicago, which would have been the absolute best. I should have mentioned to him, I hope they do that again sometime.
That would have put me over the moon.
But what did he say his favorite love song was?
Oh, Elvis
Presley. Yeah.
Love Me Tender.
Love Me Tender. Which is another, you know, speaking of Color My World, which Jimmy wrote, a simple, simple song.
Oh, yeah.
As far as how it's constructed. Love Me Tender would be the same thing. A very, very simple song, construction-wise. And certainly, you know, getting back to Jimmy's Color My World, compared to the other things that they did, which got a lot more complex, instrumentally and in every other way. So consider that my gift to you, ladies and gentlemen. Little James Jimmy Pankow about love songs for Valentine's Day, right? Okay. Coming up here, what do we have coming up? In the next hour, right after the news. Oh, want to go back to the conversation about the McClatchy Company filing for bankruptcy, the parent company of the Slow Tribune, talking about local media for just a second. And as we said earlier, the Democrats clearly have established, who they want for the nomination. And it ain't Bernie. And we'll have more and more. Don't go away. News is next.
This is 920 AM and FM.